When I came to the Rav for the first time as a youngster, I heard the Ravs tell us that when he arrived in Berlin and he went to Daven, Yom Kippur, he was shocked to hear the niggun that they used, that the Chazan and the Kohal used for the Al Chet. Because he described it as a triumphal march. And where he was coming from, in Eastern Europe, when they said the Al Chet, they said it with measure of sadness and fear and anxiety, which reflected itself also in the niggun. The truth of the matter is that I think to myself many times, we, in most of our kehillas, we don't even have a niggun for Al Chet. It's usually something that's recited section by section. What we have a niggun for in the Al Chet is on Va'al Kulam Eloi Kaslicha Islach Lonu Mechal Lonu Kapel Lonu. Correct? But not on the Al Chets themselves. However, we do have a niggun, interestingly enough, for Ashamnu. And that is also strange. At least to me, it's somewhat strange. Almost universally, we have a niggun that also is a little bit more strident than we would have expected. You know, Ashamnu, like, what am I so proud of that I'm so aggressive about it? Bogadnu, Gozalnu. Last week I learned Maseches Kedushin from cover to cover, and now I'm up to Maseches Baba Kama, whatever it is. I mean, it doesn't make sense, really. So it's not a triumphal march necessarily, but it isn't. It's not that either. So what exactly is this idea that we're trying to convey? But I'd like to approach this from a slightly different angle, which asks essentially the same question, or maybe indicates perhaps why it's not such a shock. Yom Kippur is a day of Gilu Bir Ada. There's a machloikas in the Gemara Maseches Yuma Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis, famous machloikas, between two Tanoim happen to be from the Asoa Hugi Malchus, interestingly enough. They are both mentioned on Yom Kippur in the Asoa Hugi Malchus Piyut, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba and Rabbi Akiva. And the question is, Tzarech Lifroit Esachet. Is there a chiyuv to spell out the details of our averos when we say our vidui? So one man di Omar, Tzarech Lifroit Esachet, Shenema, and it's interesting what the makor for that is. Shenema, the pasuk is quoted. Hashem is threatening Bnei Yisrael. It's after the Chet HaEgel. I imagine that Klal Yisrael already did tshuva. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Ona chota amazeh, chata agedoyla. So apparently, Chata Gedoyla would have been a generic statement, and it's clear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to Moshe Rabbeinu and to Klal Yisrael what the Avera is. But nevertheless, he had to add Vayasu Lohem Elei Hezahav. So that's Pirut Hachet, Lefaret, to specify, to designate the specifics of the Chet. Rabbi Akiva Omer, he quotes a pasuk at the beginning of Perek Lamed Beis in Tehillim, LeDavid Maskil Ashrei Nesui Pesha Kesui Chata. In this pasuk, by the way, there are different explanations. Nesui Pesha Kesui Chata might be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has willing to forgive the Pesha and is covering up himself over the Chet. But the way Rabbi Akiva learns the pasuk, Kesui Chata means who is Ashrei? The one who covers up his own chait. Not the kind of cover-ups that we're used to in Washington, D.C. We're talking about he doesn't mention the chait when he's mizvada. So it is a vidui, but the vidui, bedafka, does not specify the chait. So you're not mefaret the chait. So he asked the question in the Gemara, so then what is this? Vayasu lehem alehe zav? And actually Rabbi Akiva says that what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing was justifying kivayochol, or excusing or implicating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe in a sense that it's partially his fault. Ribbono shel Olam, kesef v'zahav shehirbeisa lehem liYisrael ad she'amru dai, goram lehem sheyasu alehei zahav. But in any case, the v'yasu lehem alehei zahav is not pirut hacheda kun Rabbi Akiva, and in fact, ain't tzarech, because ain't tzarech mean you shouldn't or you don't have to. So that's an interesting question also in the Poskim and in the Shulchan Aruch even. There are many Sfarim that speak about what we do on Yom Kippur. The Gemara itself is not necessarily speaking about Yom Kippur. But on Yom Kippur, are we obligated to be Mefaret the Chet? So, you open up a Chayodom, for example, and the Chayodom, as you know, if you've seen it, and there are pamphlets and booklets subsequent to the Chayodom from the Chidah, from others, that actually take the Aleph Beis and they expand on the Aleph Beis and they list all sorts of averos. And people who are interested in being Mefaret the Chet, they use these, they take advantage of these pamphlets or booklets or lists, and they are Mefaret the Chet accordingly. However, the question is, what do you need pamphlets for? The Maisa, why isn't it in the Machzor? Well, there are myriad chatoyim, and there's only so many hours in the davening. But that doesn't seem to be a justification if you have to be mefaret. Well, a person will come and challenge me and say, wait a minute, there is pirut hachet. Pirut hachet in alchet. So, implicit in that challenge is also an admission that you have to wait for Al-Chet. Because Ashamnu is definitely not a Pirut HaChet. You open up the Chayodom, and the Chayodom says exactly that. He says that the Ashamnu is not according to the Mandiyomer of Tzarech Lefaret HaSachet. He says it goes according to the other Mandiyomer. It goes according to Rabbi Akiva. Ein Tzarech. Because Ashamnu is a series of Aleph-based generics. He's a very general chatoyim. Even gazalnu doesn't necessarily mean the regular case of gzeilu v'yigzol sachanis miyara mitzri. There's all kinds of gzeilu. You can steal somebody's Yiddishkeit. You can steal somebody's tradition. You know, my vart, it's not my own idea, but I've repeated it many, many times, that there's a tremendous difference between Yerusha and Mirosha. Yerusha is something that you can squander and there's no problem. Legally, you're entitled to get the money and throw it into the river. No one can stop you. It's your money. And certainly, besides that, you can destroy it, ruin it, throw it away. You can also, you have no obligation to give it to the next generation. There's no concept necessarily that because my father left for me, then I have to leave for my children. That is the exact opposite of Mirosha Kehilas Yaakov. Mirosha, you have to preserve every single thing that you got. You're not allowed to lose anything at all. And furthermore, and by the way, that might be the side of the very interesting halacha, that hu lilmoid uvnoi lilmoid, that the son could be kaidem livnoi in his chiyuv to learn, he could go work, and his son should learn. Where does that come from? I have my obligation to learn Torah. You have your obligation to learn Torah. But my obligation is to preserve the Masorah, and if I can guarantee that my son gets the Masorah better as a result of his learning, then that's my kiyum in my chinuch and my harbatzas Torah, my kiyum in limudat Torah, in my chiyuv of limadatam osab nechem and vishinantam levonechem. Because they have to preserve the Masorah, and also you have to give it over to the next generation. So you can steal the Masorah from the next generation if you don't teach your children, if you don't mechanich your children, if you don't give them the understanding of what it is that the Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. So it's all kinds of gezel. And gezel is a very generic statement. Even arayus is gezel, because eishes ish, then you're stealing somebody else's wife, etc., etc. All kinds of gezel. In gzeilas ha'ani bevateichem, the ani doesn't have any money at all. Somebody once in Eretz Yisrael, one of the gedolim once said, "I hope an ani, a ganav comes to our house. Maybe he'll leave something," because they were desperately poor. Maybe something will fall out of his pocket, you know. So he hopes the ganav comes to his house. But how do you steal from an ani? The ani doesn't have anything at all. So the answer is you didn't give him shalom. That's what Chazal say. You're stealing his dignity. You're stealing his identity. As it is, he doesn't think highly of himself. When you let him walk by and you ignore him and you pay no attention to him, you are confirming the fact that he's nothing. Chazal say, Eis kala yikum, ze mamayna shal adam shema midoy al raglof. The person who has is substantial. Use the word. He's very substantial. What do you mean substantial? He's an empty head and a very, very desperate heart. But he's substantial because he has a lot of money. That is why you can have all kinds of gzeilas. So gzeilas is generic. Everything there is generic. In fact, Chayyadam has to explain what's the difference between Pashanu and Maradnu, because Pesha is also merit. But these are all generic statements. So what did the Chayyadam do? He said, Vibal, since this is all based according to Rabbi Akiva, that ain't Sarach Lifrei Tesachet, but if we want to be Pirei Tesachet, so I'll give you examples. So in Ashamnu, he has Achalnu Macholos Asuros. So people had problems, they ate bugs, they weren't careful inspecting their vegetables, and so on and so forth, so they can add Achalnu Macholos Asuros, and so on and so forth. What's fascinating to me about the Chayyadam is that he didn't discuss Bichlal. You know what? We taka don't have Pirut HaChet over here, but we do have Pirut HaChet where? In Al-Chet. And there are many things. There's also Harim and Marim and so on and so forth. There are generics too. Bainas HaBaratzayin, etc., etc. But there are very specific instances. So why isn't that Pirut HaChet? So he doesn't... So you could say, you start with Ashamnu, and in Ashamnu there's no Pirut HaChet. I think it's different. I think the answer of why he didn't mention and why that's not good enough for Pirut HaChet is not merely because some of the most obvious inyonim are not mentioned. Al-Chet Shalatonol Fanecha B'Chilul Shabbos. Chofetz Chaim writes in the Hakdomah to the Chelek Gimel, the Chelek of Hilchot Shabbos, that in the name of Rabbi Yonis Neibshitz, that if a person doesn't know Hilchot Shabbos well, then... It's very unlikely that he should keep it properly. So there are a lot of things that are missing. It's a pirut, but there are a lot of things that are missing. And besides which, it's for everybody to say, you know, maybe there should be a list that, you know, specific to me. These are my chatoim, rachmano litzlan. So the question, I don't think it's that's the reason. I think the reason is because we're missing the point of al-chait altogether. You know, Al-Chet has no verb. Al-Chet she-chatonu lefanecha, what? What's the verb? What are we saying about those chatoim that we are chatonu lefanecha? Ba'aynas or beratzon or, you know, belatzon, belashoin hara. What about them? So the answer is, slach lonu mechalonu kaper lonu. That's the verb. In other words, what we're saying, you know, Ashamnu and Al-Chet, they go together. They belong to one another. Where is the ultimate example of that? The Vidui of the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim had two sections. And they're very repetitious. Ana Hashem, Chatasi Avisi Pashaiti Lefanecha. Ana Hashem or Bashem, big discussion about that, the Rav used to speak about it many, many times. The Beis, Bashem. Kaperna Al Avoinos, Abshoim, Achatoim, whatever the exact Seder Advarim is also machlaik, Shechatosi of Isir Pashaiti. In other words, there's a statement that I sinned, and then there's a second statement of Bakoshas Kapora for those sins. And so it is in every of the three Viduyim, Sai the Vidui of himself, Aniu Besi, Aniu Bnei Aronam Kachecha, and of course, Al Shem Kol Yisrael, Chotu Avu Pashu, Klal Yisrael. Ashamnu is a statement, I have sinned. That's what it says. We did this, and we did this, and we did this, and we did this. Al-Chet is the second half of the Vidui of the Kohen Gadol. We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Mechila, Slicha, V'Chapora on this Chet, and on this Chet, and on this Chet. And that's why there's a refrain. That's the one that we sing. Va'al kula malek haslichai, slach lonu mechalonu kapelonu. That's, I believe, why, if you are interested in asking on Yom Kippur, is there Pirut HaChet? So I would have said immediately the answer is no. Ashamnu doesn't satisfy it because it's too generic. And Al-Chet doesn't satisfy it, both because it's not generic, but it's not specific enough. And there are many things that are left out that are very basic. But the most important reason, the fundamental reason, is that it isn't a statement of I did the chet. And in Pirut HaChet, that's part of the idea of the Pirut HaChet, the busha that comes from it, and so on. And that's missing. That's all Bakashas Kapara. Every last one of them.
So there is an inclusion of Chilul Shabbos.
Yeah, but that's certainly very generic. So that's not, if Hashamnu is not Pirut, then Al Chatoyim is not Pirut enough either. It's all generic. So actually, Rav Sternbuch LeMoshel and others like him, in more recent Svarim, he should be well. I'd rather just call him to wish him a good yontif and a gemach sima toiva. So he says, "Tak it's a pella otzim that on Yom Kippur there's no pirut achet. There's no pirut achet. V'aloi onu loy mefaltim achatoyim shalonu b'yom kippurim klal v'av shayim l'mashamnu b'gadnu gazalnu." I'll say the Aleph Beis, Eloi Nikum Mefarit Chatov, She'oime B'loshen Rabim B'Benusach HaTfila, She'bevad HaYechot MiYisrael Chato B'Zeh, Avaloi Nikra She'moid Al Chatov, She'hu Chato. And then, it's very fascinating. He quotes the Ramah. He quotes the Ramah. The Ramah in Simen Tov Reish Zayin, Sif Cotton Beis, Sif Beis, the Ramah is actually, according to him, a raya, a halchacha, to what he is saying. So let me read to you the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. Sif Beis of the Mechaber says, Beferish ein tzorich lefarit achet. That's how he starts. He paskins, in other words, be'ikar like Rabbi Akiva. And what's fascinating is that it's not like the Rambam, which the Beis Yosef in the Mechaber is generally like. Imratza lefaret harishus biyado, but it's not osa. Imratza harishus biyado. V'mizvade belachash nochin lefaret achet. There's a certain amount of equivocation here. If it's belachash, then it's nochin lefaret achet. All right. But the Taz and many others already say that he's Machriya Karebi Akiva Shain Sarach Lefarit. Yeah. It comes along the Ramah and he says the following. Hagor, because he's backing up to the Imizvad de Balachash Nochon Lefarit. So he says, Avol Kishem Mispalul Bekol Rom Oy Shaliach. He himself is Mispalul Bekol Rom. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, they, people generally daven louder. It's a whole discussion whether you can daven your Amida, your Shemona Esrei, loud. Yom Noroi. So he says, Kishem Ispalul B'kol Ram, O, Shaliach Tzibur, of course, is by definition B'kol Ram, Kishachoyza HaTfila, in that vidui, Ein Lefarei Tachet. So he asks the question implicitly, Uma She'omrim Al Chet B'Seder Aleph Beis, Loi mikri pirate. But he doesn't give my reason. He doesn't say loi mikri pirate because it's not really a statement I have sinned. It's just the bakoshas kapara on what I have sinned. It's the chelik base of the kain gadol zvidui. No, he says something else. Hayo v'hakol oimlim b'shove, einoi elo k'nusach hatfila. Because everyone says it equally, it's basically a nusach hatfila. It doesn't satisfy the requirement of Pirat HaChet. That's what's mashma. And that's exactly how Rav Sternbuch interpreted it. That it simply doesn't satisfy the requirement of Pirat HaChet. In other words, according to Rav Yehuda ben Baba, that you have to say, Vayasulhem Elohim HaSeicha, that you have to be Mefarit HaChet, it's not while you're davening in a standard nusach, in a fixed nusach that every single person says. That's how he understands it. So he says, continues Rav Shterbuch, so he says, okay, so you don't have to be mefarit to chait. But since the Rambam and many other poskim insist that you should, the Rambam says in Perek Beis of Hilchos Tshuva Halacha Gimel. So what about them? In one of the Rabbonim in Queens, Rav Noach Elbaum, Shlita, is a big Talmud Chacham. He put out a number of Sfarim called Minchas Chayin. And one of the Sfarim is Hilchos Tshuva, and he does not agree about this Ramah, that the Ramah is a Raya, that you're not Mefarit the Chait. Why? He quotes a Me'iri. The Me'iri is of a certain opinion, but he quotes others, Chadoshim Mikarov Bo. He quotes those who have initiated a certain thing. Chadoshim Mikarov Bo Portu Bo Prote Chatoyim Rabim Alderach Alpha Besa. V'iskimu al ha-mizvade she'yifroit kol ha-aveiros she'b'oisei nusach va'af imeloi asa'on. What he sounds like he's talking about is al-chait. The protim rabim, even if he didn't do it. You know, there's a famous comment of the Rambam. Somebody came to the Rambam and he says he doesn't feel right about saying the al-chaits when there's so many things here that he didn't do. And the Rambam first explains to him that it's not so pashut, and then he says, for this comment alone, you have to do tshuva. But in any case, the Me'iri is unhappy about this. He says, chadoshim mikarov bo, what? That they, basically, it's either the al-chaits, or even more than the al-chaits. We don't know what they said. But hiskimu, in other words, the shitas that are giving you those booklets, they insist, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, that you do have to be Pirate the Chet. And so, why is there a standardized nusach if that's the case? Tiknu liyos sidur kach b'fnei hakoil. So he's against this. But when he's masbir, that shita, he says, those who have the standardized nusach, the reason is shelo levayesh, but it does satisfy what? Pirut hachait, because that's the whole reason that they made such a list. But they made everyone say the same list so that they will not be misbayesh. If everyone's saying it and not everybody did all of those averos, that's for sure, so nobody knows who did what. So memela, you can say it barabim, you can say it b'kol ram. So says Rav Olbam, Zosan Gesund, what do we see from this Meiri? That the nusach of al-chait, that long nusach which has the pirut ha-chait, which is said barabim, is satisfying the inyan of pirut ha-chait. Because that's what they said, that it's according to the shita that says l'arach l'farit ha-chait. It just comes to answer what? Why it's not a busha. So the answer is because it's done by Rabbim and it's a standard nusach. He says that's exactly what the Ramah meant. The Ramah is coming after the Mechaber. What did the Mechaber say? That he's mechuyev to what? If he's going to be pirit, he's mechuyev to what? To do it balachash. So the Ramah says that it's not a problem if it's Bekol Ram, either when he davens, he says it Bekol Ram, or when the Shalech Tzibur, of course, says it Bekol Ram. Why is it not a problem? Because everybody says it, and it's a standard nusach. It's exactly the argument that the Miri quotes in the name of those who say Tzarech Lefarit Achait. And they do it in a standardized nusach, you know, Barabin. Shaloi Levayish. So the Miri doesn't agree with this. But the Me'iri, when he's quoting this, because he holds that you're not Peiret Techet. But if you hold that you're Pirit Echait, apparently he holds that Al-Chait is good enough, and therefore that's all that the Rama was saying, that it is a Pirit, but it's not a problematic Pirit. Because it doesn't hurt anybody's feelings, and it's not difficult to say B'Kol Ram. So according to his, of course, approach, the Al-Chait is a Pirut, and we do have a Pirut Al-Chait on Yom Kippur. By the way, as far as the Machloikas between Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba and Rabbi Akiva, so again, quite a number of interpretations have been given as to the nature of this Machloikas. The first thing that I want to point out is that Moshe Rabbeinu is not acting as a chazan, as a shaliach tzibur. The shaliach tzibur, and actually similarly the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, they are not shlichim of the individual. He's not being misvada for me. His nusach is a vidui kloli, it's a klal Yisrael nusach. And actually, the shaliach tzibur on Yom Kippur, it's very interesting. The avoid of the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim has hakdama. Now I believe that hakdama applies to the vidui as well. It's not just the avoid. You know, there are two hakdamas, Sayan Rosh Hashanah and Sayan Yom Kippur, of the shliach tzibur. One of them is basically the equivalent of Hashem. In fact, the words Hashem Svasai Tiftach are mentioned in that hakdama. That's the hakdama that's called Achil Olakel. Achil Olakel is the introduction of his bakoshes, and Hashem Svasai Tiftach. So there's a shliach tzibur dika. That doesn't mean that he shouldn't say Hashem Svasai Tiftach before he starts, but it means that B'Kol Ram and the Bitzibur, there is a beginning of his tefillos and bakoshes and all the piyutim and slichos. So he says Achil Olakel. Same thing on Rosh Hashanah. It's me b'tayrus the shliach tzibur of this kehila. But there's another hakdama, and it's very interesting where the hakdamas are. If you'll open up an art scroll machzor, beautiful machzorim, but if you open up an art scroll machzor in Rosh Hashanah, you'll discover an interesting thing, that they have the sections identified. Malchiyos, Zichroinos, and Shaifos. Where do they identify the beginning of Malchiyos? Before Aleinu L'Shabeach. Before Aleinu L'Shabeach. Truth is that Malchios begins with Al-Kain Dekava. We're so used to Aleinu and Al-Kain Dekava going together what do you mean, beginning of Al-Kain Dekava? The beginning of Al-Kain Dekava is Aleinu L'Shabeach. But it's not so. In fact, Aleinu L'Shabeach and Al-Kain Dekava are two separate statements entirely. One of them, when I'm speaking about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, two separate statements. One of them is an introduction to Malchiyos, Zichroinos, and Shofros. That's Aleinu L'Shabeach. Until V'yodata Yom HaShavos Al Lavecha. Al Kain Dekava is the beginning of Malchiyos itself. It's the introduction of the Malchiyos in the same way that Ata Zoicha Masei Olam is the beginning of Zichroinos, and Shofros has its Hakdama. Every one of them has a Hakdama, the Hakdama to Malchiyos, which starts the Psukim of Torah. The three Psukim of Torah is Al Kain Dekava. Kapusu b'sarasecha, Hashem yimoch lo'olam v'ed, v'nema, etc., etc. Right? The Malchiyos of Al Kain Dekava is Poshet. You know what it is? Aleinu couldn't be Malchiyos. Because Malchiyos on Rosh Hashanah, I digress, but it's important to get to the Chazan B'Nogeya Yom Kippur. The Malchus of Rosh Hashanah is the Melech Al Kol Haaretz. It's the Malchus that's totally universal, it's absolute, it's over the entire cosmos and every human being. To limit HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus is to reduce him from being an emperor to a king or from a king to a prince, and we have no right to do that. Malchus basically begins with Al Kain Dekava, Liros Meir of Sevez La. That The Kol Bnei Basa Yikru Shmecha. It's like the Vilna Gaon says, what's the difference between Melech and Moshel? Moshel is Reid Alon Bashevet, he forces the people, but Melech is the Melech that everyone accepts. So, Ki Lashem Amlucha, but today it's Moshel Bagoyim, Vay Hashem Le Melech Al Kolor, it's when? Vayomu Yi Hashem Echad Shmechad, Valu Moshim Baratzim, Lishpad Esareisa, Vay Slashem Amlucha. So the idea of Malchiyos has to be total and universal. Aleinu is the exact opposite. We are the ones that are special and unique because we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shelo asanu kugoy ha'aratzos, v'asanu she'im ishtachim le'evu v'arik. Aleinu is the today and the Alkein HaKaveh is the tomorrow. And for Malchus, we want the tomorrow. Now. That's exactly what it is. So the beginning of Malchus begins with Alkein HaKaveh. Aleinu is saying, there's two tefillahs going on in the Chazoras Hashat. Sai on Rosh Hashanah and Sai on Yom Kippur. There's the tefillah of the regular Musaf, and then there's a Malchus Achronis and Shofar's tefillah. Could have been a separate tefillah. The introduction to that extra tefillah is Aleinu L'Shabayach. You know why? Because we're saying we're the ones who have to do this. That's Aleinu L'Shabayach. And we do the same thing on Yom Kippur. That's one of my biggest rayas, that Aleinu is not the beginning of Malchus, because we say Aleinu on Yom Kippur too. In the Chazoras Hashatz, we say Aleinu. And Aleinu L'Shabayach is the beginning of the unique tefillah of the Yom Kippur Chazoras Hashatz. What is that unique tefillah? The Avoid of the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash, which the Rav spoke about many, many times. I believe there's even a recording, which is also in the Rav's, in the Machzor that they put out from the Rav on Yom Kippur. There's a pretty nice summary of that drasha in English. Kohen Gadol is one Kohen Gadol. There's only one Kohen Gadol. In all of Klal Yisrael, there's one Kohen Gadol. But there are many Shliach Tzibur's. Every Tzibur has a Shliach Tzibur. Interesting is that to introduce the Shliach Tzibur's davening in general, he speaks about himself. It's Loshen Yochid. Etc., etc. But when it comes to the Avoid of the Kohen Gadol of Yom HaKippurim, to that extra tefillah that's embedded in the Musaf of Yom Kippur, you can't do that. Because it's not, I am the Shaliach Tzibur of this Tzibur. I represent the Kohen Gadol, but so does the other Shaliach Tzibur next door, or across the street, or in a different community, or in Eretz Yisrael. So we have to be mitztarif. When the Kohen Gadol is represented by the Shliach Tzibur, every Shliach Tzibur has to merge. And you know how he does it? By asking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept all the tefillos. All the tefillos. And I believe the same thing is true about Tkiya Shofar. But that's a different story. But where is the Hakdama of the Shliach Tzibur as part of a conglomerate of Shliach Tzibur's throughout the world? Right. Listen to the Lashon. Heyei im pipiyoi shluchei amcha beis Yisrael. Hoyrei ma'ashe yoymeru. Teach them. Who's the them? Every single Shliach Tzibur. What is it nagad to me? I have my Tzibur, and I have my oilam, and I have my minion right here in this base medrash, in this shul, in this base tefillah, and that's it. And that's a chilul akel. And Bechlau, what do you have two Hakdamas for? Because the Hashem Svasai Tiftach is for me when I'm davening right now for this Tzibur. B'tayr Shaliach of this Tzibur. Hayayim Pipiyos is something else entirely. In between Achil Akel and Hayayim Pipiyos is Aleinu L'Shabayach. The Aleinu L'Shabayach idea is that we're starting a new tefillah, a different kind of tefillah. Rosh Hashanah, it's Malchus, Achronis, and Shofar. You see, you can't have one tzibur being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to have that. Every tzibur should be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael, V'yitnu L'cha Kesem Melucha. So how do you do that? The answer is, and Ubameh B'Shofar. So every Tkiya Shofar has to merge together. Every Shaliach Tzibur is Malchus, Achronis, and Shofar that comes together with the Shofar. Right? Zichron Trua. That has to be a universal, a Klal Yisrael kind of davening. So you say, Hayayim Pipiyoi Shluchei Amcha Beis Yisrael. That was the kavanah of this introduction, of this piyut. I would like to make a suggestion. that whereas everyone understands that that is because he's going to be also the Kohen Gadol, as it were, in the recitation of Atokananto Amitz Koyach, in that piyut which goes over the avoid of the Kohen Gadol in some detail, actually, sometimes very precise detail, which is hard to understand. Achas, achas, v'achas, achas, shtayim. There's so many things going on Yom Kippur. Why bedafka that? But in any case, it's sometimes very much in great detail. But I believe that there's another reason why the Hakadoma is there. Because I believe that in the davening of the Shaliach Tzibur, and Demis, you'll ask me, but isn't that Chazaras HaShatz every single one of the tefillahs, not just Musaf? The answer is yes. But I think that as far as this vidui is concerned, there's maybe a tzad hashoveh. Why is it enough to say al chait? And why maybe it isn't a pirut hachait? And by the way, as much as you have a raya from the Meiri one way, there are other rishonim that say the exact opposite. They say that the reason that al chait doesn't satisfy it is because it's generic and it doesn't include everything. Mamish, exactly like Rav Sternbuch suggested. And that could very well be the pshat of the Ramah as well. The Ramah is mitli toli v'koyi. It's not clear which way it goes. It doesn't have to be the way that it's understood al pi, those that the Meiri doesn't like, doesn't the rejects, but it could be stam, that it's not considered pirut achet, period. No raya. But what I mean to say is this, that the avoida of the Shaliach Tzibur on Yom Kippur is bi'ikar bakoshas kapara. It's bi'ikar bakoshas kapara. I would like to maybe emphasize it a little bit more. You open up a Rambam. The Rambam has Yom Kippur mentioned in three places as far as various aspects of Yom Kippur. One of them is, of course, Hinichos Tshuva. In fact, towards the end of Perek Veis, he speaks about Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and he speaks about Yom Kippur itself, and he says explicitly that Yom Kippur is a day, the day for Tshuva, because it's Ketz Mechilu Slicha. Rambam mentions Yom Kippur, Hechos Yom HaKippurim, in Moyed. And the Rambam also has the Avodas Kohen Gadol Yom HaKippurim. So he has it in three places, Avodas and Kodshim. But in the Hechos Tshuva, when the Rambam speaks about Yom Kippur, it's not at the beginning of Perek Beis. At the beginning of Perek Beis, it's called Hilchos Tshuva, and it's Tshuva. And let me ask you a question. Somebody does an Aveira. Does anyone imagine that there's any possibility that he should wait to do Tshuva because Yom Kippur is a day of Tshuva? Is it conceivable even? When is the time to do Tshuva? The time to do Tshuva is the moment that you do the Chait and you discover that you did the Chait. Then, of course, you have to do Tshuva immediately. If a person postpones the tshuva, then probably has to do tshuva for that itself. What do you mean? Where were you? So he already was misvada. He's misvada. The Rambam, when he says tzorich lifrei tachet, doesn't say anything about Yom Kippur bechlal. It's not Yom Kippur's not on the horizon even. The Rambam speaks about what a tshuva gemura is, and the Rambam says what is tshuva. And the Rambam says that the tshuva that you have to do includes these elements. And then the Rambam speaks about tzorich lifrei tachet. And after that he says, midarkei tshuva, liyos hashov tzayik tamid, etc., etc., and mishana shmoi, klei me'ini osei shel acher, and his goyle, because a goyle makes a person humble. This is a constant. A person has to be busy with tshuva every time he does an aveira, and basically his entire life. And I'll tell you another thing. The Rambam says in Perek Zayin, for example, On the Chazal of Shuv Yemechad Lefnei Misascha, that a person should constantly be Bitshuva because he doesn't know when he's going to leave this world. And Nimsa, that when he leaves, departs from this world, he's departing without Chait. So he has to do Tshuva all the time. So the Pirut HaChait that the Rambam is talking about is in that Tshuva. And if you paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, then of course you have to be Mefarit HaChait. There's no question about it. That has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. Another thing, we say a vidui before Yom Kippur begins, correct? Shema Yechonik Besuda. As the Rav pointed out hundreds of times, this was one of his, I don't know precisely why, but he just kept hammering away at it, based on the Ramban and other Rishonim, that there's a concept that you have to enter Yom Kippur B'Tahara. You have to be perfect when you come into Yom Kippur. So if there is any idea of Pirut HaChet, he's already taken care of it in a certain sense. Because he's already, now of course we have the standard Vidui then too. But the truth of the matter is that the idea behind the Ramban, in other words, if you really follow the Ramban's concept, then number one, it has to be Dafka before Shkia, because then it's already Yom Kippur. And number two, if you have to be Mefarit Techeit, then you have to take it be Mefarit Techeit. If there's ever a time that a person should go through that booklet and list everything, and there's some Sfarim that write Sefer Hasidim and many who emphasize that there's no such thing as not being doing this chait or that chait, because there's machshava and then there's gilgulim. You might have been a different gilgul, it says. You might have done the chait and so on and so forth. And there are a number of zayas that speak about pirut chait in a very, very remarkable terms. The zayas says that if you're mefarit the chait, then only HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges you. If you're not mefarit the chait, then the Beis Din Shalmala judges you. And if the Beis Din Shalmala judges you, you never know, because it's Midas Hadin, but this is mitigated by Midas HaRachmin, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges you. So of course you have to be mefarit the chait, as Eish Teit and Zoya. But my point is this, you already have been mefarit when you did the Avera. You've been mefarit because it's Shuv Yemecha B'fnei Misascha, according to the Rambam, that's Tzarech Lefarit. That's part of the Vidui. And furthermore, Erev Yom Kippur, you've already been mefarit again. So by the time you enter into Yom Kippur, there's no need to be mefarit. Because the vidui of Yom Kippur has a different din. The vidui of Yom Kippur is not your classic vidui. It's not the standard vidui that is mechuyev in tshuva. And when Rambam says that Yom Kippur is a day of tshuva, and it's man tshuva lakoil, it's like the idea that Yom Kippur is the last chance you have. But no one waits for the last moment. That's the point. And when you come into Yom Kippur, not as the choyte that you are, expecting kapara, which many people do. That's how they understand Yom Kippur. You come in, it's like a car wash, and you come out and you're clean. And then eventually you get dirty again, you go into the car wash again. Every year you go into that car wash. That's not what Yom Kippur is bichlal. So what Yom Kippur is a day of Mechila Slicha V'Chapora. That's what Yom Kippur is. But in the Yom Kippur Mechila Slicha V'Chapora, there has to be an identification of what for. What I'm driving at is this, that the Ona Hashem and the Ona Bashem, if you'll ask me, which is the Ikar? The answer is the Ona Bashem. And that's why it's not such a kasha that he can say Chato Avu Poshu Klal Yisrael. There's no tshuva there. I can't do tshuva for you. I don't even know you, but I couldn't do tshuva b'shlichus either. I can't do tshuva. Tshuva is something that's in your heart. You have to change your personality. You have to be mischarit. I can't be mischarit for you. That's not charata. That's not your charata. If there was anything that was a mitzvah shebegufo, it's tshuva. But when it comes to bakoshes kapora, then the Kohen Gadol is mevakish kapora. Yom Kippur is a day of mechila slicha b'chapora. And the Kates Mechila Slicha Kapora, you have to mention what the Mechila Slicha Kapora is for. And that's why I believe that when we say the Ashamnus, no one had a Hava Amina, that this is the declaration of Chatoyim that I am Mechuyev to do as part of the Hakara Sachet and the Tshuva that I do for the Chatoyim that I do as Aziva Sachet, with the Akara Sachet, and then there is the Charota, the tremendous regret that you have that you did the Aveira, and then there's the Lo Yechta Oy, the Kabbalah La'aba. That's not happening in Oshamnu. It's too fast, it's too limited, and it doesn't do the job. Oshamnu is merely the statement that we need desperately the Ribbono Shel Olam's Mechila Slicha V'Chapora. That's really the Nakuda. And I think that it's the essence of Yom Kippur that we spell out the inyan of chait only because we have to say Slach lanu mechalanu kapel lanu. And Mimela, the question doesn't even, I think, get off the ground, because it was, I mean, I'm not saying this is Aliba de Huli Alma, but that's my suggestion. That the question doesn't get off the ground, because the Pirut HaChet, he's saying Aliba de Rambam and others, Aliba de Rambam and others, Pirut HaChet is alive and well. You know when? This morning, that's when it's alive and well. On Yom Kippur, there's a different emphasis entirely. It's the Zman of Mechilas Licha Chapara. Of course, if a person doesn't, you know, a person can walk into Yom Kippur and do an Aveira by walking into Shul. He snubs the guy in front of him. He makes some snide remark about the chazan being too long. The Rav said something and he was looking at a Sefer while the Rav was darshaning. And he thinks that he's going to get tremendous schar for learning the Mishnah Berurah Hilchos Yom Kippur or whatever it is. And when he gets to the Olam HaEmes, they're going to take him in the elevator and they're going to be going down, down, down. And then he's going to say, wait a minute, what's going on over here? The elevator's broken. Because what are you doing? You're telling the Rav, if he notices you, that I don't need you. And I'm not interested in what you have to say. And I could spend my time better. You're also telling that to your neighbor. So you are over, you can do Lashon Hara Birimisa too, you know. You don't have to say words. You're over on Lashon Hara. You're over on Einaz Dvarim. I mean, the list is almost endless. Because he opened up in Mishneh Berurah. On Yom Kippur. The wrong time in the wrong place. That's right. I bid for the... I'm just giving you an example. I bid for Mafta Yoina. I had in mind, I have to have Mafta Yoina. Why a person has to have Mafta Yoina? It's the same reason why a person has to have Psicha for Ne'ilah. There's, you know, you go to an Ani and you put your hand around him and you say, my Taira Ani, I love you. And come to my house, I want to eat breakfast with you. I need to eat breakfast with you. And you know, I know you're far away from home and you have matzavim and tzaris, but I want to give you a little bit of an oasis of peace and tranquility. Come to my house. We'll have a cup of coffee together. We'll eat some of my Rebbetzin's babka, and you'll sit. You'll rest a little bit, and then you take out $100 and you give it to him, and you say, you know, I wish I could give you much more. In fact, if I could, I'd give you all the money that you need, but I'm limited. But my heart is with you 1,000%. So at that moment, all the Malachi Asharis are singing, and they are so happy. They're so happy. And then this person, but he wants Mafta Yoina, but he didn't get it. You know why? Because he set his limit at $1,000, and the other guy, you know, bid $1,500. So he turns to the fellow next to him, and he says, that right Sayach and that Ganav, you know how he got his money? That's all you need. That's all you need. The whole Yom Kippur went down the drain. So of course Yom Kippur has to be a day of tshuva. Of course it has to be a day of tshuva. It has to be a day when a person's on guard par excellence. I mean, that's the day. This is it. You can't come to the Ribbono Shel'olam at that moment when he's sitting the judge. Imagine you go up to the judge and you need a sneeze, and so you wipe your nose with his tie, you know, or with his robes. You know, you wipe your nose with his robes. I mean, it's a mahalach. So of course you have to do tshuva. If I think of this, it's a Kate's Mechilus Slicha. There's no question about it. But it's the Mechilus Slicha Hapara that's the essence of the day. And therefore, in the tefillahs that we have, we're always headed in that direction. That's where we're going. And finally, although it's not so Nogeya to my union, but I wanted to share something with you. You know, we have this Mafta Yoina, also goes for a lot of money. Mafta Yoina. So what's about Yoina? Yoina is an interesting thing. And the emphasis of Yoina is, of course, that the Gans Ninveh was Chogu Sakim, and they did a real genuine tshuva, and they were able to be Mishana, the destiny that was meant for them as a punishment. And the fact that it's Goyim is also fascinating on many, many levels, which we won't go into. But there's one Nakuda that the Brisker Rav mentioned that's kedai to share, because I think it's critical for B'nai Torah to understand this, because other people, when you talk to them, it just doesn't resonate b'chlal. It's too distant. But B'nai Torah, I think, can have such a hasaga, and it's a very important understanding. He asked the question, you throw Yoina into the water. So I'm asking, Yoina's there's a problem with Yoina. He doesn't want to go to Nineveh. Whatever the problem with Yoina is a problem with Yoina. What about the rest of them? What about the rest of them? So the rest of them clearly are Ovdei Avodah Zarah. There's a Nisa Avodah Zarah for Goyim too. And it doesn't, no one discusses their level of tzidkus. It doesn't seem to be relevant at all. So the boat is about to capsize, and the boat apparently would not capsize because of them, no matter how bad they are, no matter how much Avodah Zarah they do. So here's one person doesn't listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about a specific thing. He's not an Ovid Avodah Zarah. So for that, the whole ship is about to be destroyed and drown all of them. Vasfina chishva liyishaver. And b'shel mi, they're asking a meiridika question. Who is the responsible person? Tapela dekazach. What, you're so perfect? you're perfect. But so who? Where is the problem? So they find him downstairs in the belly of the boat. He's sleeping. Malacha nirdam kum kra lelekecha. Call to your God. You know what that means? That means they have their gods and he has his God. Then he should call his God because you never know. It's paladin. And they ask him, "Who are you?" Ivri anoichi v'salkei hashamayim ani orei asher asu esayom v'esei abosha. Gvaldik. He doesn't say I'm a professional navi. You know, he's a Jew, and what's a Jew? Elkei Hashemayim and Yorei. So they want to know, so what's the problem? So he tells them, you know, take me and throw me in, you'll see. Because I know that I'm the one. So the Brisker Rav said, give a cook. You know, you have a whole boat full of people, but it's Yoina. And I believe what he was trying to say is this. The Nefesh HaChayim, which inspires Brisk very much, you know, it's not only a Zayda, but, you know, the whole idea of the Nefesh HaChaim, which is rooted in Kabbalah, and thousands of Sifrei Hasidim say exactly the same thing. When a person does a mitzvah in Aveira, he affects the entire cosmos. And cosmos just doesn't mean just what the astrophysicist sees with his telescopes and with his equations. Because reality exists on many levels that we can't identify in a tangible way. It's not measured by instruments, but we impact the entire universe by the smallest thing that we do. If a person doesn't, I'm saying this very carefully, if a person doesn't wash Netilas Yadayim in the morning, ostensibly a rather limited deed as far as Averas go, you can do much, much more horrible things. But that already is something that puts a cramp, it puts a warp in the whole fabric of the cosmos. It's a pelitic thing. And another thing that Yiddishkeit insists upon, that everybody has that kind of achrayus which is so absolute and so ultimate that it could be that the entire universe depends upon that one deed and that one moment and that one person, which is really remarkable. The Rambam says it himself. He says a person has to feel that the world is chetzi zake chetzi chayiv, osa mitzvah achas, is machri himself and kol olam l'toivah. And the opposite is also true. I think the idea here is that a person has to have a most incredible sense of responsibility. And a lot of people are not interested in that bizman hazeh, because responsibility is a bad word. Responsibility is burdensome. Responsibility is, you know, you're wrecking havoc in the cosmos. Well, leave me alone. You know, I'm just trying to eat my applesauce. I mean, basically, nobody wants responsibility. Anyone ever talk about Gehenna now? Chalila v'chas, you can talk about Gehenna, you're going to make a person upset. And I think the whole of Yiddishkeit, the grandeur of a person, the greatness of his neshama, comes hand in hand with awesome responsibility. And that's the whole idea of tshuva. You basically are looking at the universe and you're saying, Eina dava tali ela bi. And that idea is very central to Yom Kippur. So that when you come into Yom Kippur, the Havana is that you're coming in as a person who has already repaired the fabric and that warp, it no longer exists. I think you come into Yom Kippur for the Mevakesh of Mechila Sricha Chapara is a person who's Kaddish Vitar. That's the Mevakesh. And that's why I believe Ashamnu didn't do it and Al-Khayt didn't do it either. Because Al-Khayt is already part of the Bakosha's Kapara itself. And if they really insisted that you have to be Mefarik the Khayt, they would have put it in Ashamnu. And even though the Chayyodim does put it in Ashamnu, but the Chayyodim is in the late 1700s. You're not talking about Chazal. And there is that strand, I admit it. I'm going with one Mahalach. But that Mahalach says that Yom Kippur is a day of tshuva because you can't be not a shav and expect mechilas slicha v'chapara. You can't. A person has to be betshuva all the time and his entire life. And finally, I wanted to mention one more thing. Ahayu yomim tovim liYisrael, like Yom Kippur. All right, Yom Shenitna b'Torah. The Rav has a very beautiful discussion of that also. That the Torah Shebaal Peh relationship, Yom Kippur and Sukkot and so on. But Yom Tovim, it's a day of Mechila Sliv HaPara. That's what it is. Mechila Sliv HaPara, it's not because I'm guaranteed Mechila Sliv HaPara that I can come in and I can be happy. I'm happy that I cleansed myself. That's what it is. When I walk into Yom Kippur, the Vigilu Bir Adah is the beginning of Yom Kippur as much as it is at the end of Yom Kippur. At the end of Yom Kippur, there's a certain confidence. Leichecho b'simcha l'achnacha ki kvar ratza l'kimis ma'asecha. Yes. But the Iker Gilu Bir Adah is because I walked into Yom Kippur that way. I walked into Yom Kippur with the Pirut Achet already in hand. So we have a couple of hours to go. You have to get to work. You have a Gemach Sima Teva.